You're listening to the Douglas Jacoby Podcast. Here we bring you some of the material found on Douglas's website in podcast form. We hope that as you listen, you are challenged to think about faith.
Today, Douglas continues his series on the book of Proverbs,
now looking at Proverbs chapter 6. For more on this episode, follow the link in the show notes to Douglas's website. Now here's today's teaching.
This is lesson 6 on the disciplined life from the book of Proverbs. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands and pledged for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer, or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer, gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. A troublemaker and a villain, who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks maliciously with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers, who plots evil with deceit in his heart. He always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant, and he will be destroyed suddenly and without remedy. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart, fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life, keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For a prostitute can be had for a loaf of bread, but another man's wife preys on your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he's starving. Yet if he's caught, he must pay 7-fold, even though it costs him all the wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse a bribe, however great it is. I see this chapter broken down into 4 parts. There's a section on vows, one on industry, one on sin, and particularly being a devious person, and then also we return to the theme of adultery. The first section talks about someone who's become trapped by what he said. He's made a promise that he realizes after maybe he cannot fill it, come through for it, or maybe it was just a really bad thing. He never should have agreed in the first place. And here, and it's actually in verse 5, we're given permission by God to try to get out of that commitment. Sometimes I hear people ask, well, I gave my word. I said I'd do this. And of course, I believe if we give our word, we should keep our word. But there's sometimes when there's a greater principle at play. I mean, you gave your word, you would help someone. But you also gave your word at the altar that you would look after your wife. And that is a more important commitment. So we don't just legalistically do what we said we did. Although hopefully, if we're wise, we'll never have to say something that we fail to follow through on. This passage is important because it gives us permission to go back on our word. I hate to use it that way because that sounds like the opposite of passages like Psalm 15. You know, we keep our vow even when it hurts. But I really believe we need to balance these two principles, being men and women of our word, and yet when there's a higher principle at stake, not being unwilling to be flexible. Don't be so legalistic. Perhaps that'll be useful to you or someone you're counseling in the future. The next section tells us to imitate the ant. And once I preached a really fun sermon on the ant, you know, there's so many different animals described in the book of Proverbs. It's really fun. But we talked about the ant and the fact that in the Hebrew, the ant is female. And it's kind of like wisdom being female. This is the self-motivated, high-functioning, exemplary, model for us, and it's the female, and that's good for all the brothers, and I'm sure the sisters don't mind one bit. What's really clear is the self-motivation. Without having someone checking up on her, the ant is doing what's right, working in season, not out of season, not putting things off, but just staying busy. And where does this affect us? How does this apply to us? Well, it applies to us all day long, but starting with getting up in the morning. So when will you get up from your sleep? Don't be a sluggard. And I know there's a point, you know, if you don't get enough sleep, you're not at your best. But if you get too much, then, or you're just making excuses for yourself, then you can also become quite groggy and not very focused. I know, I've done that. And also, I realize that some of you listening to this may be very disciplined people. You may always get up at the crack of dawn, but that doesn't mean that this passage doesn't apply. If you're like me, you enjoy hard work, but you tend to get involved in too many side projects. You go off on tangents. You have all kinds of things that you want to do, and you'd be more effective if you would focus on a few. See, indiscipline comes in multiple flavors. So the call to be a person of discipline, which we hear frequently in the Proverbs, applies to all of us, even if we're already strong in that area. Then the next section talks about the devious person, the villain, you know, the someone who's basically trying to divide people. He's full of plots. And we don't want that in our lives because God hates that. Vicki and I have often used verses 16 to 18 or 19 as parenting passages because it tells us that to God, rolling eyes, you know, haughty eyes, aren't just cute. No, it's detestable. Lies are serious. Causing disunity in the family is a serious thing. But of course, he's speaking here about more than just the family. He's talking about what will destroy God's community. And we need to take sin as seriously as the Lord does. The Lord finds nothing cute about it, nor does he accept our excuses. The devil made me do it, or I'm only human. And then the last section, the long section in this chapter, is about adultery. We come back to that. He warns them to, you know, to follow the teaching. Don't reject it. That'll lead you forward. It'll keep you from your neighbor's wife, the wayward woman. And then he seems to be saying that sexual sin is particularly difficult to entertain without getting burned. But it may actually cost you your life. Now, we have to know something of the Old Testament background. The Old Testament had, by my count, 18 different death penalties, from contempt of court to murder. I mean, there are all kinds of death penalties, including adultery. Yet, we also know from the Old Testament and from Jewish practice that the death penalty was almost never applied. Nearly always, monetary means were relied upon. Because, you know, the eye for eye. I mean, I don't think in the whole Old Testament we find an example of God's people taking out an eye because someone took out their eye. That wouldn't help. It certainly wouldn't deal with the real issues. But if that person made up your loss to you by serving you or giving you money or possessions, see, that's what they did. That was normal. But there was one exception. It says in the book of Numbers, don't commute the capital sentence to anything else in the case of murder one. So for intentional murder, in the Old Testament, there was a death penalty. Of course, New Testament knows nothing about that. And I think that's important because otherwise, if this passage we're reading wouldn't make sense. You'd say, well, wouldn't the adulterer be, you know, killed? Wouldn't he be stoned to death or something like that? I don't think that was normally done. It was practiced sometimes. But what he's warning against here is not the, he's not just warning against how this particular sin changes us and hurts us, makes us blind, although we do this because we're blind. But he's saying, because if you take someone's wife, the husband will push for the maximum penalty. I mean, he's going to show no mercy. So you're miscalculating on two fronts. One, by ignoring God's word and ignoring the words of wisdom you've been given since you were young, but also you're not looking at this object of temptation in the proper context. That is, she's attached to someone else. And, you know, even if it's not a married person, I think we should look at everyone as though, well, that might be a married person one day. I wouldn't want to cheat on that person's, you know, a spouse, or that is someone's son or daughter. If we start thinking relationally about people, instead of just thinking about them as photographs, you know, two-dimensional figures, then we'll care a lot more. So these are really important words for us. There are serious consequences to sin. In the Old Testament, yes, they executed the adulterer, but I think very rarely. But the warning here is a different thing. You're just destroying your relationships with that family that you violated, the community. It's just crazy. When people say, well, is it really wrong to commit sin if it's in my home and no one else knows about it? Well, even that has consequences. There's no such thing as a private sin without a public effect. Because any sin we commit reduces our ability to engage, to be giving, to be loving, and it causes us to expect others to carry our weight. I did a series in the beginning of 2015 on morality. This is part of the Answering Skeptics series, where I flesh out this idea a lot more. But I think it's time to conclude. So we have the warning, kind of a quadruple warning here in this chapter. But the challenge I wanted to leave us with is to imitate the ant, to be self-disciplined, to be motivated. My son, if you put up security for your neighbor, ESV, have given your pledge for a stranger, if you are snared in the words of your mouth, caught in the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. For you have come into the hand of your neighbor. Go, hasten, plead urgently with your neighbor. Give your eyes no sleep and your eyelids no slumber. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer. She gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, with perverted heart, devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. For the price of a prostitute is only a loaf of bread, but a married woman hunts down a precious life. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. None who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his appetite when he's hungry, but if he's caught, he still has to pay sevenfold. He may give all the goods of his house, but he who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. He will get wounds and dishonor, and his disgrace will not be wiped away. For jealousy makes a man furious, and he will not spare when he takes revenge. He will accept no compensation. He will refuse, though you multiply gifts. Well, we'll finish in a prayer. And again, the challenge is to be like the ant. Lord, this day we ask that you will fortify our souls. Help us, Lord, to imitate those examples of industry and discipline that are all around us. As we all know, men and women who are strong in areas where we're weak. And from the scripture, Lord, help us not to just lie in like the sluggard, but to be up and about our work like the ant. And even if we have no human commander, no one holding us accountable as an overseer, we know that you see all things. And we are tired of being robbed of productivity, of being robbed of joy, robbed of accomplishing what is in our heart to accomplish for your glory. And so help us to resist that temptation to just lie there a bit longer when we need to get going. Help us to consider the ant, to imitate her, and always to remember the one who was so disciplined in his life on this earth, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed Douglas's For additional notes and resources, be sure to check out Douglas's website in the show notes. The website has hundreds of articles, podcasts, and videos for you to access for free. You can also become a premium subscriber and gain access to thousands of online resources from Douglas's teaching ministry.